God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Perhaps you've noticed that Rome is burning. It seems like so many of our major cities are descending into chaos, and oftentimes it seems like the mayor and other officials of such cities have little to no will to do anything about it whatever. You know, because young people grow up without any loving discipline and guidance, without a dad or mom, they end up being thrown into jail, and when that doesn't work, they are released from jail and they continue living a life of self-destruction. There's no parents, there's no jail, there's no fear, and consequently there's no change of mind. But oftentimes you see people who are judged, but instead of changing their behavior, instead of changing their minds, they just double down on their destructive behavior. Perhaps that's the way it has always been for some, and that's the way it will be. If you look at Revelation chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 5, "And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus." So this is the eternal God who was, who is, and who will be. And this God is righteous because of his judgment. What are his judgments? Well, you read about them. For instance, in verse 9, "And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." They did not change their minds. So God judged them severely, but instead of changing their minds and their ways, they doubled down on their destruction. Verse 11, the same thing. "And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Here are those who, right in the middle of God's judgment, instead of changing their minds, are more resolved in their destructive, rebellious sin. Once again, you look at verse 21. "And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." So God is a God of judgment. And verse 5 tells us that they are worthy of this judgment, and that God is worthy because he gives it. "True and righteous are they judgments," verse 7 says, of this God. So what do you learn from this? You learn that perhaps your character is revealed more by your response to judgment than by avoiding it. You know, a lot of people can avoid judgment. That doesn't mean that they're a good person. It just means they're not only wrong, they're also deceptive. Perhaps no one knows what a rotten person they are. And so they get away forever because they're clever. They're a more clever devil. They're clever. So they do what is wrong, but they never get caught. You know, sometimes, again, our character is revealed more by the way we respond to judgment than our ability to avoid judgment. So how do you respond to correction? How do you respond to judgment? Some people respond in deception. They deny that they have done wrong. They do not change their mind. And they, like the people we read of here in Revelation chapter 16, they continue on in their destructive ways because they are lying to themselves and lying to others instead of responding to judgment. Some people respond in argument. Now, again, I'm not talking about the judgment of God written of here. I'm just saying if we don't respond to the correction of God through the authorities in our life, then what are we going to do when we face God himself in the future? You know, a lot of times people are corrected for their own good, but instead of making amends, they make an argument. Instead of changing their ways, they change their tactics but keep on doing the same destructive things. So they deceive, they argue, and a lot of people just have utter contempt for any kind of correction in their lives. You know, the Lord says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke." So repent, change your mind. God is a good father. He's not some hateful God. He is a good father who loves his own and wants to correct and guide and love and, yes, chasten, and all those things go together. You know, a year ago this week, pretty much a year ago, and 2 years ago, pretty much this week, once in Michigan and once in West Virginia, I was holding special meetings in two different churches, and in both cases met men who, if you had met them 30 years ago, they would have been, you would have thought they were the enemy of God. They did not love God. In fact, they, in some cases, were very antagonistic towards God. They were making a mess of things. But one day, their heart and mind and life, as the old radio broadcast says, were unshackled. They came face to face with the Lord Jesus, so to speak. They responded to God's working in their lives, God's chastening in their lives. They trusted the Lord Jesus, and their life has been a reflection of that ever since. How wonderful that nobody is too bad for a perfect God. How wonderful that nobody has a record so bad that God cannot change their future. You know, you're not a good person just because you avoid judgment. You show your character by the way you respond to judgment. There's a day coming when God will ultimately judge the wickedness of this world and of this time. And there are people who will not change, even though they are being chastened or actually judged by God Himself. One of the ways we can do right by God is doing right by the rebuke, by the chastening, by the correction that we receive from the authorities in our life. And in doing so, we reflect that we have regard towards God and we have a willingness to change our minds towards His truth.